and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez, and joining me, per usual, is the great Nate Eckert. Nate, we were this close to upsetting Toolshed on baseball pods. And by this close, I mean 30% difference of what we needed. But Nate, how you doing today? Overcome with stress, or are we doing all right?
No, I'm feeling great, man. Just to be in the same conversation as Toolshed, big fan, admirer of those guys, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg. Just to be within 30% is frankly mind-blowing. So I hope we're doing something right. And thank you, everyone, who went out of your way to log in and vote for us. That's a huge, clout burst to get on that tournament and show out and make the Sweet 16. So it's huge, and we really appreciate it. So thank you.
Yes, again, I'll say my thanks as well. Those guys, Chris and Eric Cross, Chris Clegg, Eric Cross, they do a great job. That podcast comes out, they've been doing three episodes a week. It's a little bit wider range than ours, with a lot of dynasty and even redraft stuff that they do. But they definitely have it down to a science. Nate and I still trying our best over here. So happy to be in the Sweet 16 again. That was nice. I just maybe if baseball pods, Chris, if you could just maybe not put us in that bracket with them ever again, that would be nice. But alas, here we are. We are Chipper Jones days away from opening day. That's 10. Although for Dodger and Padre fans, the number is much less. What are you, Derek Jeter number away, something like that?
Yeah.
Nate, are you going to stay up and watch that game? It seems.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of my Dodger friends are like, ugh, I can't wake up and do that. But I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, I'll be up. I'll watch for sure. It's opening day, on the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to do an overseas game like that in the middle of the season. So I get why they are doing it. Maybe send some more teams out there, though, or something. I don't know. It seems
right?
Like.
Yeah, at least make it worth its while, right? Mm-hmm.
But today on Futures Focus, a couple things to talk about. We're going to continue on with the top 190 prospects list. Last week, we got the top 100 done. I think that's always a very important topic to discuss, always one of our most popular episodes as well. However, in most dynasty leagues, if you find one or two of those top 100 available, you're pretty darn lucky. However, today, this is the episode that if you really want to try to improve the stock of your team, find some cracks in the armor in your league, this is the episode to listen to, because we're going to go over the top prospects after 100. So we got 90 prospects to go over today that are not going to be on the top 100 lists. Most places, especially obviously our site, prospects1500.com, check it out. And these are the guys that, when we get to the end, I would imagine a lot are available everywhere. So a very good episode for those that are going to try to get ahead of the competition. But before we do that, Nate, I think it's time we bring back news and notes to start out. And there is so much news and notes to go over. This is going to take some time, I think, if we go over every little tidbit. So I'll just try to pick and choose some of the big ones. There are going to be some big names in here to talk about. Like our first name is Jackson Churio, is officially named to the opening day roster, which was nice. I mean, they gave him a contract. You would hope that he'd make the roster, but he's had a pretty nice spring. Hasn't killed it, but still for a guy that's, 20 years old, pretty impressive stuff. And he does kind of have that same Acuna trajectory of just rapid ascent that gets you very, very excited. So we've talked about him, Nate. I don't need to ask you too much about him, but just fun to see him on opening day.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Get it out now. We're not going to be able to talk about him for
long. I was just going to say that it's really exciting and it's great for baseball and good luck.
A couple of guys, however, that did not make the team. Kyle Manzardo, he got sent down along with Everson Pereira and Paul Skeens. Now, Paul Skeens, probably not a surprise. Not even really news. That was mentioned really early in camp. Everson Pereira with the Yankees outfield's pretty crowded at the moment. But Kyle Manzardo, I really thought we might see him there. But kind of a weak AAA stop last year, hitting 161. But 23 years old already. Hit 381 in the spring training this year. I'm wondering, like, do they really have better options? I know Josh Naylor is at first right now, but they can't find a spot for Manzardo.
Right.
What do you think the plan is here for Cleveland?
I feel like this is like typical Cleveland-esque stuff that they do, right? I feel like almost all of their prospects, especially hitting prospects, get drawn on this never-ending, like raft ride that goes up and goes down and goes up and goes down. I mean, Manzardo to me has maybe he's got a month left of AAA. He just goes out there, keeps doing what he's already been doing in spring, puts it behind him, hopefully, and just has a really short memory, because I know there's some guys that would really get upset about being sent down after you have. He had a really good fall league also. So, it's unfortunate for him, but just take your lumps. You'll be up soon enough, and 23 is going to feel like 17 once he's up, you know?
These Guardian prospects, they just take some time, some of them at least, with, George Valera. We're still waiting on Jahensky Noel, Brian Rocchio, a couple other guys too. Jose Tania is another one. But I imagine let's take a look at this depth chart here for the Guardians. And Josh Naylor. That's the thing with Manzardo, I guess, is that he can't really play anywhere besides first and DH. So
right.
Josh Naylor, and it's there's room. Do you want him to be a DH? Put too much pressure on the bat? Maybe not. So that's kind of the problem that they're looking at there. And you got Bo Naylor as well, going to get some DH at bats with Austin Hedges. It's a little bit of a mess. I can't imagine though he's down for too long. So
I don't think
his stock's going down or anything, but let's go over a couple of guys that had a little bit more positive outlook, like Jackson Merrill, the starting center fielder for the Padres.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming a few months ago. But there he is. Great spring. Showed a little bit of pop too that I had been waiting, still waiting on. I'm very interested on what sort of home run totals he's going to. Is he going to just have a high batting average, no power? Is he going to sell out for power? But look good in center field, and we'll be out there to begin the season in a few days. Another guy that we'll also see out there, Gavin Stone, named the fifth starter, and went out, struck out, eight guys in the span of a couple innings. Yep. Granted, it was not the greatest competition, perhaps, but still, Stone looks like he has turned a corner since last year. Why don't you give me your lowdown on what you saw from Stone this spring and your realistic hopes for him in 2024?
Yeah, for me, with Stone, it was more or less his attitude when he was in starts. Like, he fought really well, but he sometimes he would get a little too cute I noticed last year. This year, it looks like he's finally gotten over that hoop or over that ledge, because my God, that changeup against the national Korean team. Oh, that thing was running faster than Jackie Joyner Kersee, you know? It was really impressive. 97 dotted wherever he wanted, and making that changeup just run all over those guys. And I love the move to make him the fifth starter. They've got nothing to lose, especially in their rotation right now. I think it's the right move in total. I like Stone's confidence heading into this season. I like the way that the club backed him. And realistically, you're probably looking at right around 4.15 ERA on the year. I mean, there's going to be peaks and valleys, but good months, bad months. I'd say about 4.07 to 4.15 ERA. Absolutely a 10.9 to 11 K through 9 ratio. Say like a 110 to 115 whip. And if he wins 12 games, I'll be elated. And has just about as many quality starts. I'll be really happy with that as his first season, and I think he can get there.
I am very excited about Stone. I've never not been excited. I'm perplexed on why he hasn't been good yet, but I think that you can get him for a decent price. Well, maybe not anymore now that he's been named, but yeah. He's still a really good a guy, especially in some shallower leagues that,
yeah, maybe, redraft,
you know, some keeper leagues and stuff like that to take mm-hmm. a shot on. A lot of pitching stuff with the big league guys. We saw Gerrit Cole will be out for several weeks to months. We also saw the Dylan Cease trade to the Padres. That, you know, was kind of out of left field again. So, but a couple of names that jump up now because of that, like Will Warren, you might see him mm-hmm. start in sort of that Gavin mm-hmm. Stone role for the Yankees. Yep. I'm excited about yep. Will Warren a lot. In fact, mm-hmm. where was I? I had Will Warren at 77 on my top 100 list. So I'm a believer nice. In him.
I had and him at 88. I had him yeah. at 89.
Good. Okay. So we're close. Mm-hmm. And I had Gavin Stone at 61. I just thought I'd look that up too. That was fun since we have my list up. And then Drew Thorpe and Nick Nastrini are kind of the other guys for the White Sox. Did you see yeah. who the White Sox named as their opening day starter today? That was interesting.
Oh, it was something. Can you remind me, please? Because I know it was very interesting.
A lefty. Least. Lefty flamethrower.
Oh, that's like, right. The opening day starter, Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, interesting, huh? So there's a lot of starts to be had for the White Sox. In fact, I want to pull up their depth chart now. I mean,
without Cease, oh my God, it's gonna be rocky days.
In terms of like where some of these prospects might be coming up here soon for them, mm-hmm, right? So mm-hmm. Crochet, Eric Fede, Chris Flexen, Soroka, Tuki Toussaint, ugh, and then Nastrini's kind of like, ugh, he's probably taking the Toussaint's.
We know Toussaint, yeah, Tuki. He has to.
Yeah, and so Thorpe will be up soon. And then the other guys like Brian Ramos and even Oscar Colas, Colin Montgomery, like, you got Nicky Lopez, Paul DeJong starting, Dominic Fletcher's in right. Eloy can't stay healthy. There is so many opportunities for this White Sox team. So they're interesting in terms of prospects. If they had some,
they have a top it is time, like an open. It's got like an open path. Even we may see Noah Schultz get some innings out there by the end of it.
You're not wrong. Schultz, they got Zavala in that trade too, but he's a ways away. Mm-hmm. Jack Eater is another Eater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Get to some other news and notes from around the league. Let me get back to my notes here.
Dun, dun,
so,
dun,
dun. Yeah, exactly. We need that. Nothing else too crazy that I saw. Nobody, we haven't got like official Langford or Jackson Holiday news. We did see Daniel Espino, the pitcher for the Guardians, will be out with another shoulder surgery. Boy. That's no fun.
What else is new?
I know. Kid.
Jeez Louise.
And then I think we'll stop there. I think we're pretty good in terms of hitting some of the big stuff, and we'll get some more news here probably for the next episode. That'll be big one here. Rosters are made. Did you add something?
Yeah, Blake Snell going to the Giants. Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That was
good for him, and to go pitch in that cavernous. Now you're looking at Blake Snell, Logan Webb, and Kyle Harrison. Ugh, no thanks.
Those are some nasty arms.
And, indeed.
And they got solar power there. Designated, forgot they got him.
Yep.
This is not a bad team. Not a bad team.
No, they're not.
Matt Chapman also signed. Yep. Jung-Hoo Lee.
He's a perfect fit there, Chapman. He'll fit right in.
Jordan Hicks. Interesting, too. But this is not a baseball podcast. This is a dynasty.
Oh, yes. Dynasty. Yes. Prospects.
Prospects. Prospects. So, why don't we take a break, and we'll head back to that top 190 list and see if we can find some gems hidden in the rough, perhaps. So, Futures Focus. We'll be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we are back. Futures Focus here with you. And Nate, let's just jump right into the list here. Again, if you are looking for the top 100 guys, check out the last episode that we published, and you'll see all of those names, the high real, the high value guys, the names you love and know and everything. But these are the guys that perhaps you need a little bit of brushing up on, maybe somebody that's, you know, available, you can go pick up right now. So we'll try to help you out. Just a reminder how this list was done. It was a collaboration of several writers, especially that top 100. I want to make sure that everybody is clear on kind of how it was made, and that the tier ones for all the teams were put together and were then ranked so that they would have to be the top 34, 35 people on the list. And then after that, there was another tier that was made. And so you had to have guys based on how the team's list actually came out. But after the 100, the list does kind of go back to the old school way that we used to do it, where every, you know, if you get a person on your list, they get a point. And there's some guys, you know, that had one person have them on the list, and boom, there they are. So I still have my top 100 list here to go over and see if I definitely know there's a bunch of names that are on my top 100 that are after the top 100 on this list. So let's start right there at number 101. I think we went 100. So Sal Stewart was our 100th prospect, who I really, really like. But at 101, I just learned how to pronounce this and now I screwed it up, but it's Abimelech I think that's right. Yes, that's right. Scared when I was about to say it. Abimelech. It's a biblical name. Abimelech yes. Ortiz, the left, the first base masher for Texas. Jacob Melton Woo. At 1-2. A nice fantasy profile there. If he can hit in the big leagues, get to the big leagues. Jack Leiter, seemingly been around forever. Your guy, I know you like Jacob Wilson at 104. Carlos Jorge at 105, an infielder, outfielder for Cincinnati. Justin Henry Malloy having a good spring there in Detroit, showing some power. Third baseman at 106. Juan Brito, as we talked about with Cleveland, perhaps an opening for him as well. Sterling Thompson for the Colorado Rockies at 108. Chase Davis, a great baseball name, 109. And then indeed. 110, Nelson Rada, the Los Angeles toolsy outfielder. So a bunch of names there again. You know, we're starting with the 100. Anybody that you like a lot here that maybe you found on your top 100 list there, Nate?
Let's see here. Nobody, honestly, this section of the list is a little hard for me. I do think Ortiz, the big masher from Texas, is gonna be exactly that. Shout out to Xavier Isaac. My goodness, what a game that was the other night. But Leiter, Leiter, I think we're just going to be waiting on him. His stuff is there. I love him. Always have. I can't quit him. But we'll see if he holds up. This is really his year, make it or break it. He's kind of just like, you have to put him in there, close to 103. I do like Jacob Wilson, son of Jack Wilson, shortstop for the Pirates back in the day. One of the best glove shortstops you'll ever watch. And the kid doesn't fall far from the tree. So I like Jacob Wilson, and he's got a lot more pop and a lot better hit tool than his dad. So I was picking him off in first-year player drafts for nothing, relatively nothing. I think I was getting him in, like, the fourth round or something like that. So I think that was a pretty high-value pick. I like Chase Davis's appeal. But I'm not entirely sold on him. Great baseball name, no doubt about it. So he's got that going for him. But this and Justin Henry Malloy, I also have to put my endorsement on his name as well. That's a good name for folks out there looking to get ahead. I don't know how many people are actively typing in J-U-S-T-Y-N. Henry Malloy into their search box, but you know, to those that are, my hat is tipped.
I you know what, I agree with you. This is a bunch of floor guys. I think Malloy is a big leaguer. I think Jacob Wilson's a big leaguer. I think Leiter is a big leaguer. But the guy that does stick out to me is Jacob Melton. He is on my top 100. The only guy of these 10 that did crack my 100 at, what do I have him at, 84. But you, I think we have talked about this where I ask you, you know, do you know what he did last year, Nate? And then you get all shocked and excited. And usually these are the guys that blow up a la Spencer Jones and Evan Carter. So Jacob Melton last year, now 22 years old, but he stole 46 bases.
Ooh.
And he hit 23 home runs.
Ooh.
So fantasy gold. Now,
yeah,
the only problem is he hit 250-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not exactly what you want to see. He reminds me of Josh Lowe a lot, where we weren't quite sure about him, and then he got there, and now he's a, you know, a top 100 dynasty guy, if higher. And he took a while too. I remember Josh Lowe kind of like, I was like, when is he? Come on, let's go. But Melton is worth a gamble for the potential fantasy stats that you could get with this guy. We're talking, you know, 20, 40, 30, 30 type of guy. So I like Melton a lot. It's worth a risk for me. I like to risk it on these guys. I know they don't all make it, but.
He looks and feels a lot like Kyle Tucker, does he not?
Yeah, I think Tucker has a better hit tool. That's the problem with Melton. And like, I like Josh Lowe is not really known for his hit tool. So I thought the comparison was good there because that's, I mean, the only thing that's question, it's a huge question is he going to hit the ball enough?
Right. Yeah. So. This on base percentage is not very high last year, 334, even lower when he hit double A, but slugging 558 when he hit double A. So you're right. I think that's a perfect comparison, Josh Lowe.
Mm-hmm. So after that, though, the next 10, I think I have almost all of them on my top 100 list. So I'm interested to see if you are more aggressive on any of these names. So we'll start with 111. That's Moises Ballesteros, catcher, first base prospect for the Cubs. Joey Luperfido, another Houston prospect. Daniel Espino, unfortunately, is probably much lower ranked now if we were to redo this. Drew Gilbert, who we've talked about glowingly on this podcast before. Michael Busch, your guy from Los Angeles, but now on the Cubs, probably starting at first for them. Ronnie Mauricio, unfortunately injured, but still the same quality prospect. Orelvis Martinez and Toronto, huge power guy. Everson Pereira, another fantasy darling in terms of if figuring it out, you're going to get homers and stolen bases. A guy that I was far too high on for many years, Marco Luciano at 119, and Roderick Arias for the Yankees at 120. So just looking at this list, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these guys on my top 100
list.
Nice. What is your number looking like? Do you think these guys are worthy of top 100 status, any of them?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I got Drew Gilbert up. I put him at 44.
I am at 49, so you beat me. Yeah. Nice.
Ha. So right under.
I
love him. I love him. Right under your boy Jet Williams. And in between two of your boys, Jet Williams and Matt Shaw, right in there. Right in between.
Yeah, both of those guys too low. That's their first problem. But yes, good company then.
Right.
Drew Gilbert is kind of what you know, Jacob Melton, we want to be, you know.
Right.
But with the Mets now, obviously. Better former Houston.
Former Astro, yes.
Former Astro.
Better hit tool, I would have to argue.
Yeah. More douchebaggy, too. He has that.
he's definitely got that swagger. Coming in at 5'9", 195.
It's crazy.
Lefty. You know, 289 average, 381 on base, 487 slug. That's 868 for those of you doing the math at home. 26 doubles, 3 triples, 18 bombs, and only 12 stolen bases. Yeah, I'm to see that pop up a bit. That was through three levels. I don't know. I mean, 5'9", 195, maybe he's put a little too much time in the weight room.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think he got a little bit too
juiced up.
Muscular. Yeah. So not, it used to be a plus runner, but not anymore. So there you go.
Well, still like we'll him. See. We'll see.
We'll see. He could still, he could steal 15 or 20, I bet, in it when he comes up.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Who else do you have on yours? I have Gilbert.
Let's
as well,
see here. I also have, I got Arias, Roderick Arias.
Where do you have Arias?
Let's see here.
I have.
Let me look really fast. I had him in at 77.
77. Okay, 66 for me. So pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of risk. I get why he wouldn't be on maybe a collaborative list like this.
Uh huh. Yep.
He's so far away, but.
I had him right under. Oh, this is a sandwich for you. I had him right in between Sebastian Walcott and Lazaro Montez.
One of those guys will hit.
For sure. Yeah.
One of them will be. What about for Bush? Sure. I know you have Bush on your top.
Oh, yeah. Bush is in there. I had him at 53.
53. Okay. I'm at 81 with him.
Oh, he's such a good baseball player, and he's just been so hidden in that Dodger system now. I think he's going to be like Cody Bellinger last year and just, you know, be free of the Dodgers, you know, run, go be yourself, Michael Bush. And the Cubbies are going to love every last inch of him, man. I mean, his exit velos have been top notch forever. His barrel rate, exactly the same. He's got a great eye, natural feel for hitting, and he's got a lot of pop in that big old bat of his. So I think he would be a great target in if we dare talk about a redraft league, say like in the 15th, 16th round, just go for it, man. He's going to get 500 at bats. This kid is going to be unfurled like there's no tomorrow, you know?
How is he against lefties? I think you probably
He's okay. Know. He's pretty good. He's like 286, I think is what it was on his career. Yeah, and the splits are okay. His on-base percentage with lefties, I think, was like 350, something like that. That's off the top of my head, of course, but yeah, he's really solid all the way around. Total pro hitter. He's going to get you great at bats every time he's up there. He's a 3-2 guy, you know, a thinker.
Yeah, that's nice. That's good. What about Orelvis Martinez? Did you get him on your list?
I don't think good old Orelvis made it this year, but no, hold on.
I got him at 71.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just going with, if it came down to a guy like Orelvis or, say, like Mauricio, and you know how high I am on him, but I had to put him at 98 just because of his injury. And I hate the timing of that injury. You know what I mean? It just came at such a terrible, terrible time, especially with those Mets. That infield is just bonkers. And so I just thought it was going to be the perfect time, and that injury came at the absolute last time that you would want it to. So that one really hurt. But Orelvis for me is just like, the dude has endless power. Like, he's solid as a rock. When I saw him in person in Everett a couple of years ago, I mean, when he was like 19, he had the build of like a 27-year-old lumberjack. You know what I mean? And nothing but power comes out of that guy's bat. However, will he be able to access it enough with his hit tool? I think he can. I mean, I think he'll be kind of like, what's a good comp? I just had him, Flacco, before he like really blew up. Encarnacion, before he really started hitting the ball well, when he was starting out with Toronto. Edwin Encarnacion, before he started hitting the ball a lot better. He's got that type of pop. We'll see where he sticks in the infield, though.
I've always liked Everson Pereira a lot. I have him at 51.
Wow.
Yeah, I've always had a thing for him. I think that his hard hit data is just it's hard to fake, you know. And so
yeah,
I'm willing to keep buying in until I see something that tells me he's not gonna do it. Spring training not so great. I was disappointed to see that. But, you know, 18 homers last year, near 300 batting average. The stolen bases have gone down since 2022 when he stole close to 30 bags. So maybe you don't get as much fantasy goodness in that regard. But You know, improvements all around for the last couple of years have really no reason to sour on him other than that he's been around for a long time now. So no reason for me to drastically change his ranking for me. Other than that, right, I think those are the names. Anybody else creep on your list?
Let's see here. Only 22. I had to check to see how old Pereira was. He's only 22 also.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. People love Nelson Radda, 18-year-old, 54 stolen bases last year. Angels are very aggressive. They're the opposite of the Guardians when it comes to their prospects. So he's a guy, 18, so young. A lot of potential there, though. If you can get a little power, Victor Scott type of, you know, CJ Abrams-esque profile as an 18-year-old. But let's move on. We'll go to 121 here, Jonathan. Jonathan Class A, or is it Jonathan? We had that discussion one time.
It's Jonathan Class A.
Yeah. Dustin Harris, Ben Joyce, names you probably recognize, Bryce Eldridge, Jacob Marcy, 125, Brian Ramos, 126, Shota Imanaga, 127, the lefty signee to the Cubs, Austin Wells at 128, Gavin Stone at 129, and Enrique Bradfield Jr. at 130. Whole different types of players here. I miss Dustin Harris. I've given up on him, unfortunately. I didn't
want to,
but
yeah,
I don't have him anymore. I think I have Ramos, though. Yeah, Ramos at 75 for me. I mentioned Stone at 61 for me. I like both of those guys a lot. And then I know Eldridge is going to be on your list most likely. 68 for me. Eldridge's power is just too tantalizing to ignore. Did I get Jacob Marsh? No, I didn't get Jacob on there. And I think that's probably it for me. Did I get Class A on there? No, I did not. Did you get Bradfield on yours?
He missed it, but only by maybe one, I think I was looking, there was a point in time where I was going through my head, like, all right, 99, 100. I was having a really hard time ending it just on 100 because that's natural. Right. But he's definitely one of those guys that would fall for me, like 101 now that I'm looking at my list. I'm really high on Bradfield Jr. I mean, I've gone over this before, but his speed is unreal. He will eventually grow into more pop, and that left field bat, I mean, he just flies out of the gate. So who else? Oh, Eldridge. I had him up at, let's see here, number 57 on my top 100.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm all in on Eldridge. Was very happy to draft him. And then I was actually even more happy to hear that they were going to let him focus only on hitting. Of course, you always want to see the Shohei effect. But here's my thing. I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the show or not. Stop me, Alex, if I have. But here's my thing. Who in their right mind would, as a GM for a major league organization, put the unbelievably immense amount of pressure on the back of any kid just getting out of high school? I mean, especially high school. Getting out of high school, trying to be the next Shohei Ohtani. I think they did him the biggest favor of his life. And I think that they all have been doing the biggest favors of their all lives. So what I really am trying to say is, are we ever really going to see another Ohtani? I mean, who else is ever going to try to do that and actually get to a point where he's even within like the same ballpark of Ohtani, and who's not going to quit when they don't get there like almost immediately, just like he did? I don't see it happening personally, and I know how those managers and those upper managements think. They want to limit the they want to limit the damage. So it's early damage control, in my opinion. So I don't know that we'll ever see a true two-way, but I guess that's another topic for another mm-hmm. show.
No, it's an interesting idea because the idea of being a two-way player 15 years ago just didn't exist. Now Otani showed that it is possible if he is indeed human. And we've had some athletes try it recently, and they just nobody's even come close. So
right.
But at, you know, Otani's is it? I mean, he's such a unique case, obviously. But two Tommy John surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of that has to be with not being able to rest. I don't know.
It's well, yeah. I mean,
hanging out loud. I don't know what I believe, but I'm just saying that's two. You know, so.
Yeah.
But yeah. He got $700 million. I think he's doing okay. But
yeah. Yeah. He's okay.
All right. Let's speed this up a little bit here and try to find some guys that we really like in this later range. So we have 131 Ryan Bliss, who I really like and I think is going to be the first call up for the Mariners. The Mariners. I think.
Yeah, the Mariners.
He's very interesting. Connor Phillips for the Reds at 132. River Ryan for the Dodgers. Everybody's
nice.
Kind of been bumping up him recently. Graham Pauly has a great chance of perhaps carving out a role for the Padres with Machado's, you know, short-term injury, and he's going to get a showcase. Felnin Celestin for the Mariners, another young guy, far away but huge potential. Christian Scott for the Mets, followed by another Met, Ryan Clifford. I'm not excited to see these guys because I think they're very close to the big leagues and they're going to be pretty darn good. Tyler Locklear for the Mariners, Anthony Solometo for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then recently traded Samuel Zavala, now a White Sox former Padre. So, you know, Pauly for me is the guy that he had such a good year last year, and it didn't really boost his stock to the point where a lot of people were putting him on top 100 list. But man, this guy has just been really solid for about a year and a half now, and he's going to be in the big leagues really quick. So he's definitely worth. What about River Ryan? Did you get River Ryan on your top 100?
No, I didn't. But that's not to knock anything on River Ryan. I think that there are some other Dodger arms that deserve to be higher than River Ryan, unless I have somehow missed them. I don't think I have. I'm trying to think of the names just off the top of my head, but River Ryan is he's very good. He doesn't have a real huge sample size. If I remember correctly, he's only got a couple of years under his belt. And I think they're at the lower levels, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on one second. Yeah. So he's 25. Drafted in 2021, the 11th round. He's only 6'2", 195. I don't know. I to put it bluntly, the only reason why he wasn't on my top 100 and the only reason why you haven't been hearing me screaming from the hilltops is I just he hasn't really come across my path to be like, oh, yeah, I love that kid. You know, by all means, he could be very good. I just don't – he's not on my radar quite yet. I'm not willing to put him up at 130 personally because, I still haven't seen enough of him. And but that's saying something. Just that in and of itself is saying something to me that he's got a cool name, you know. But, like, if I don't really know who he is, but MLB's got him in the top five of the Dodgers, top 30, like – I mean, I know my stuff, and I know MLB knows their stuff, but he did have 10 home runs over 104 innings pitched. I don't know. I'm not blown away by him, personally.
Yeah. Fair enough. I did have a couple of these guys, though, on my top 100. I had Felon and Celestin. You give me a high end international prospect, switch hitter, shortstop, and I'm going to go ahead and go for it. So obviously a huge amount of risk, but these guys in a year could be a top, you know, top 25 guy. So he made my list. I also managed to get Tyler Locklear on there. First base prospects I'm not in love with, but
he could rake.
Yes, he proved me wrong a little bit. So all right, let's continue on here. We have Tekoa Robbie at 141, Thomas White at 142, Jordan Beck, Robert Gasser, Blake Tidwell, the aforementioned George Valera at 146, Wilmer Flores. I'm losing track of all these Wilmer Floreses around. And then Orion Kirkering, Mac Hovarth, and Nick Frasso. Another Dodger guy.
There he is. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was probably one of the names you were blanking on, I'd imagine.
Yes, that was number one. But I just didn't think that they had him over Nick Frasso. I couldn't believe that Frasso would be at 150 and River Ryan's at 130. No, 133. So, yeah, I think someone got their cords mixed up or something. I mean, who knows? But I don't know. I like Frasso a lot more than River Ryan, obviously.
I got Tekoa Robbie at 95. I didn't manage to get Robert Gasser on there, though he'd probably be really, really close. And Mac Hovarth, I was thinking about, but I had to knock him off right at the last minute as well. So really, really close guys, but nobody that really sticks out to me. Kind of some, you know, people like Jordan Beck a lot. I haven't seen enough to get super into him, but let's continue on here. I'm interested in a couple of these. Oh yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. I got a name for you, Alex, and everyone else, of course. Thomas White, left-handed pitcher from in the Miami system. First of all, I love Miami and what they do with their young arms. White made his I think it was his pro debut. I don't know. It was one of the probably most extensive video clips I've seen of him. And he was dealing. This was the last spring training game, I believe. It was just like a couple days ago. And yeah, he totally dealt. And he looks really solid, nice and tall, has that beautiful, you know, four-pitch mix where he locates everything. He looks like this kid, it could be like the real deal. So look out for him.
Yeah, fair enough. I have not seen him enough, so I'll be keeping a close eye on him this year now that you said that. All right, number 151. We'll try to knock these out really quickly here. Nick York, Bubba Chandler, Zach Veen, Luis Laura, Dylan Beavers, Trey Sweeney, Arjun Namala, Brandon Taylor, Joendry Vargas, and Parker Meadows. Yeah, Parker Meadows down at 160 seems wild to me. I had him at 46. I think about is this the same guy
that I like? Is the spelling the same?
Yeah, I mean, 8 stolen bases in the big leagues, 3 home runs last year. He's going to be starting right away for the Tigers. Like, let's go. I'm ready.
Austin Meadows, brother. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, how high did you get him on your top 100?
I didn't know, but again, he's like a 102 guy for me. I saw him really high on I think it was like RotoWire. I think they had him at like 23 or something like that. Hold on 1 second. 26 RotoWire. Right in between Adele Amendola and Lazaro Montes. So again, another sandwich that ends in Montes. I guess there's a mixed read on him. But like we just said, Austin Meadows' brother. I love those, you know, the bloodlines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could do a lot worse than Parker Meadows right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you get a lot of these guys are never going to get a chance. And this guy's
right.
He's locked in for at least probably a full season, I'd imagine.
Oh, every bit of it.
2020 all day. So the other guy, you know, Dylan Beavers is overlooked in that Orioles system. And then Bubba Chandler, man, I'm ready for Bubba as well. I got Bubba at 64. I think those Jared Jones, Bubba Chandler are going to be some scary 1-2 punch there for the Pirates in short order.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Check him out. Anybody you want to mention that sticks out to you?
I like Trey Sweeney. I was really happy to see that the Dodgers were able to get him from the Yankees. I don't know how prevalent he'll be in fantasy, but I'm glad that he's in our organization now with the Dodgers. I'm going to second your Dylan Beavers backing. Alex, Beavers' numbers all look beautiful thus far, and he can't, you know, put a controller on what level he's at, but everywhere he's been, he's just raked. And he's from the left side, big kid, went to Stanford, I believe, right? Oregon State, and he played for his name is Beavers and he played for Oregon State. I couldn't remember if my mind was trying to trick me out of that to say he was at Stanford, but yeah, no, I think you're right. And
I never thought of that, but, but then I'm
really
right now that's not possible, right? I can't.
Right, right. Yeah. Hold on. I mean, we have to look this up first of all. All right. I like Arjun Namala a lot.
He played college for Cal. Sorry. Yeah, we were.
Oh, wow. We were all over. Well, Pac-12. Yeah. We had them.
It must be the name then. Yeah, it must be.
It's got to be. It has to be Cal. Mm-hmm. Come on. I also like Arjun Namala. Big. I think he'll be at the third base, the hot corner, when he eventually, you know, grows up. He's only 18, but I like his hit tool.
All right. As we move forward, let's get one name that sticks out to you in this list.
Perfect.
So we can kind of, you know, tell people, because there's going to be a lot of fodder here, I think.
Yes.
161, Chase DeLander, Jefferson Rojas, Blake Dunn, Landon Marudis, Ty Madden, Ben Brown, Yohandy Morales, Wonbin Cho, Joey Cantillo, and Kevin Parada. There are guys I don't know much about, if I'm being honest. I don't think I've heard of
Wonbin Cho
Marudis before. Have you? That's
I've heard of Morales. I like him. I think he went to LSU, if I remember correctly. He was taken in this most recent draft. He's brand new. First or second rounder for Toronto. I like the way Toronto drafts. Sometimes. What? Go ahead.
121st overall pick. Prep pitcher. That's why I don't care about prep pitchers after 100 picks, probably.
Oh.
But there you go.
I got LSU in my head. Weird.
Well.
Okay.
Wait. Sure. And then who was the make sure I'm right there.
Yohandy.
Righty from Florida. The other guy that I don't know much about is Wonbin Cho for St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is when we get to guys like that are sticking their head out for guys on our list. It's awesome because now I'm going to look him up.
Look him up.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
Yeah.
32 stolen bases, 270, 19-year-old. Anyway, the guy I said one name.
One name.
The one guy that I'm going to go and stick out is Blake Dunn. I love Blake Dunn. And the only reason why you don't know him or he's available is because he's older. He's 25. But this guy has hit a ton. And, you know, 15, 23 stolen bases, 54 stolen, home runs, 23 home runs, 54 stolen bases. There we go. Let's words are hard, but yeah, this guy's good.
Those are really good counting numbers right there.
Yes, those are numbers. Give me one name for you in this ring.
Oh, yeah. It's easy. Yohandy Morales, everybody. Yohandy Morales. So, 2020 draft, he's a high schooler, and he gets heavily, heavily recruited. I think he was even drafted, but it didn't work out because either they didn't offer him enough money or he just really wanted to get the college experience. Whatever happened, it worked out. Because this kid is an absolute beast. He was just taken in the super draft, 40th overall by the Nationals. He went through four levels last year after the draft. So, you know, this kid gets done with his third year of college, comes out and rips 349 with a 423 on base percentage. A 494 slugging percentage, a 917 OPS, 42 games, 166 at bats. So it wasn't just a, you know, it wasn't just a cup of coffee. He made it all the way up to double A. 16 doubles, 4 triples, no bombs yet, but this kid is stacked. 6'4, 225. I mean, there's nowhere that his hands will not be able to get in on a pitch, out on a pitch. And once he gets those arms extended, folks, look out. This kid, I really believe in heavily. Big Yohandy Morales.
Well said. Yeah, a guy that I think probably isn't truly 167 and would be closer to, you know, 120, 115 on a lot of people's lists. But that's kind of the nature of the beast here is, a couple of guys don't put him on their top 100 and he falls down. But yeah, I like what you're saying about him. Let's go ahead and finish it up. Let's see. Let's do a rapid fire here all the way to 190. Let's see how fast I can do this. So Addison Barger at 171, Emerson Hancock, Jason Churio, the brother to Jackson, Jack Etter, Wyler Abreu, Will Warren, Owen Murphy for Atlanta, Joey Ortiz, Xavier Edwards, Christian Vaquero, Carlos Rodriguez, Ricardo Cabrera, Nick Nastrini at 183, Yahoo Lee at 184, Gavin Cross at 185, Spencer Arrighetti at 186, Pedro Leon, Denzel Clark, Luis Morales, and Mr. Irrelevant, number 190, Jacob Berry. I'm going to give you the floor here. And before I do, I'll just say, you know, Will Warren, as I mentioned earlier, is a guy that I'm super excited about. I've always liked Addison Barger a lot. But I'll let you go ahead and finish us off here with a couple of names you like at the bottom half of the list.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. So first and foremost, Luis Morales from Cuba. The kid is 21. He was signed last year. By Oakland. He's got everything that you could possibly want from your ace starter. Let's see here. 21 from Cuba, 6'3", 190. He's got a great frame, very athletic. Last year, in his first pro season, he went out and crossed four levels. Had 13 starts for the A's organization, 44 innings pitched, only 33 hits, only 2 home runs. The kid knows how to keep it down and really, really young. I mean, he is 21, and these are lower levels, but this is what you want to see out of a kid's first professional season. Comes over from Cuba and only gives up 2 bombs. 15 walks, 53 strikeouts, folks, with an opponent's average of just 202 and a 109 whip. So look out for him. I invested heavily in him, and I am hoping that it pays off. It looks like it could. And Nick Nastrini was a Dodgers prospect for quite a while, a UCLA kid who probably should have went for the draft a year before he did. I don't know if he was draft eligible sophomore or if he stayed because he wanted to stay. I can't remember what the situation was, but he was basically the best pitcher in college baseball the year prior to getting drafted. And then the year he did get drafted, he just had not a really great season. And I think he ended up going like in the third or fourth round to the Dodgers for a song. And now the White Sox hopefully won't screw him up too much, but he's been in the Dodgers system for long enough where this kid is nasty. I love this kid's name, Nick Nastrini, Nasty Nick. He's got a slider that is devastating, 95, 96, 97 four seam. I believe he's worked on his changeup enough to make that more than serviceable. And just overall, he's just Nasty Nick. I love that kid. But I think I like Luis Morales a little bit more. And last but not least, Denzel Clark, the freakish outfielder for Oakland. This kid's peripherals and measurables and all the stuff that we love to freak out about are off the charts. 6'5", 220. he's got a 50 power hit tool, 60 run tool. Let's see here. 12 bombs last year, 11 stolen bases. He had 30 the year before, so I don't know what happened there. Maybe he came into Double A. But 381 on base percentage in his first trip to Double A. Yep, first trip to Double A, was there all year last year. Had nothing but projection coming into last year. So sometimes when kids hit Double A on their way up, they run into a brick wall. He didn't. His average was 261, but his on-base percentage was 381 with a 496 slugging, 877 OPS, 234 at-bats. He probably had an injury. That's what was making the counting stats. Yep. Okay. Okay. So, Denzel Clark, last but not least on Nate's list.
Beautiful. All right. We got a bunch of names for you. Again, check these guys in terms of dynasty leagues, depending on the size of it, 16 team, 18 team leagues. If you can get any of these top 200 guys, you're doing something right. I really like where our names are at. I think I'm a couple guys that, I'm going to do this, and I'm sure you are as well. I'm going to pick some guys that have some huge ceilings and put them high on my list. But in reality, the list to follow is definitely the one on the site. That's the one that's going to be the safest. So do you want a little bit of risk? Maybe you can listen to Nate and I go over some guys that we're higher on. But if you want a list to just follow and, you get offered a trade and you want to just check it out and see, all right, I got offered this guy, where would he be at? The Prospects 1500 list is probably the best all around that you can find. It's going to have the most amount of thought. I shouldn't say that, but the most amount of people with thought making it, meaning that it's not just one or two people. So very difficult to find a list that is going to be composed of so many different opinions into one. Therefore, it's probably the safest one to use, in my opinion. I've said that over and over and over again, and I'm not. I guess I am sponsored by them, Prospects 1500, but I definitely was using that site well before I started writing for them and writing for Scott. I know very much who it is, but you know what I mean? It's just it's something that's very useful. One of your tools in your toolkit, to say the least. All right. Yeah. Well, Nate, you'd better get some sleep because you'll have to wake up at a really odd time to catch your Dodgers. But that is real baseball, and it's happening soon. And we'll probably get one more podcast in, I'd imagine, before the regular season. But then after that, we're going to be hitting the ground running. And hopefully we can get back to some of those divisions and get those finished up before the start of the season. We'll see what we can do. Maybe we double up on something. But that's where we're at. So, Nate, thanks for joining me. Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for the votes. Really appreciate any and all support. If you like this podcast, go ahead and rate it on Spotify or Apple. 5 stars is appreciated. If you're going to give us 0 stars, you know what? You to really show us, don't give us a review at all. That'll really show us if you're.
That'll teach us.
Yeah, if you're going to give us a 1 star, then, you know, not even doing that will be the way to get us. But if you do like it and you want more, 5 stars and maybe a nice review would be great too as well.
That'd be awesome. Future focus.
My name is Alex Sanchez. Nate Eckert was over there talking about Dodger prospects, and we will be back shortly in the next couple of days. We're done. See ya.